You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Final day of the year, final early BP. Welcome to it. I'm Mike Farron. Last night, another big comeback win for the D-backs, sparked by Christian Walker.
Here's the 1-1 pitch to Walker. And a high fly ball, deep left field, at the warning track, at the wall. Grand slam, Walker! Diamondbacks lead it. Listen to this crowd.
Walker's second homer of the game led to a 6-5 D-backs win and a pie in the face from Adam Jones.
Is it coconut cream night?
I think this is key lime. It's pretty good, yeah.
It's good? All right, that's good. So is key lime one of your favorites?
No, but after two homers and a grand slam, it sure is.
Hey, tonight, it seemed like you were really relaxed, comfortable at the plate. What are some of the adjustments you've been working on to get in that spot, especially with Meta?
Exactly that. Not trying to force the hits or the hard hit balls or even the walks, anything like that, kind of letting the game come to me. Moving into the end of the year, there's still an opportunity to learn. I know we're out of it and we're out of the postseason, but getting a chance to experiment with my approach and mentality at the plate and during the game, it's a help for sure.
I know you're a real cerebral player, and you'll probably think about this more, but what's maybe the biggest thing you've learned about yourself over the course of the season that you've already evaluated?
I'm a very emotionally invested guy in the game. I work really hard. I spend a lot of time and energy on it. So when the results don't go my way, it gets frustrating at times. I'd say moving forward, I'd love to be able to take those things with a grain of salt and just bump with them and run with them and continue to grow.
All right, the grand slam was great, but the first home run, I know you visited Friday's front row before, but what's it feel like when you get into one that ends up there?
Yeah, that was a good one. I've been missing some breaking balls lately, so to run into a spinner like that, it was good. I didn't think I hit it that well, but it went. Must be the roof.
The grand slam, obviously a huge moment. What was the key in that at bat against Bednar?
Just keeping it simple. Like I said earlier, there's a bunch of guys on base like that, and with the team we have coming through the core of the lineup, it's just a matter of time until somebody gets one. And it could have been a double, it could have been a single, but fortunately it went out of the park.
We'll go let you clean the filling off your face. Congratulations, Chris.
Thank you.
Coming up in a couple of minutes, we'll get a self-evaluation from Torey Lovello on the 2019 season and the things that he'd like to work on as manager going into 2020. But first, a look back at the final week of the regular year. It's time for a look back at the final week of the season in D-backs Week in Review. The D-backs jumped out to an early lead in San Diego Sunday, trying to keep their slim playoff hopes alive.
Here's a stretch by Richards in the pitch. Harry drives one to deep left field. 2-0 Diamondbacks. Off the scoreboard, second level. And the Diamondbacks grab a 2-0 lead. He jumped on the first one. I mean, that ball exploded off his bat.
Adam Jones' blast helped pace the D-backs to a 4-0 lead, but the D-backs couldn't hold it. And former U of A star Seth Mejias Breen walk-off home run in the 10th. Pushed the D-backs to the brink of elimination. They welcomed in the St. Louis Cardinals for the first time on Monday, and that meant the return of Paul Goldschmidt to Chase Field.
Here's the hand for Goldie as he walks to the plate. He acknowledges the crowd with the tip of the helmet.
Later in the game, Goldschmidt made his old team pay.
Now Goldie swings, hits one to deep right center field. Jones goes back, and this one's gone. So Paul Goldschmidt comes home to Phoenix, hits a two-run homer, and the Cardinals now on top by a score 4-1.
The D-backs would mount a spirited rally in the ninth, but the game would end with the tying run at the plate, and the D-backs were eliminated from postseason play. But they were hoping to not let St. Louis celebrate a division title at Chase Field, and the D-backs were fighting hard on Tuesday night. For a long time. They trailed 1-0 in the bottom of the ninth when Ildemar Vargas stepped to the plate against Andrew Miller.
Vargas hitting right-handed, and he swings. It's a fly ball to deep left center field, and this one ties it. Home run Vargas, 1-1 here on the ninth. A pinch hit home run by the former Cardinal farmhand.
Goldschmidt would give St. Louis the lead in the 13th with a solo homer, but the D-backs answered the last man off the bench, Caleb Joseph.
And the 0-1 pitch, and it's lined right field, base hit, the run is in to tie it. Dyson stops at second, and we are tied at 2.
And on they played, and on, and on. And in the 19th inning with runners at first and second, Mike Schilt, the manager of the St. Louis Cardinals, intentionally walked Christian Walker to face Ildemar Vargas. The bases loaded in two outs.
At his first pitch, and a line drive base hit. This one's over. Scoring from third is Kelly, and Ildemar Vargas, the former Cardinal farmhand, beats the Cardinals in 19 innings here by a score of 3-2.
It was the longest game in Chase Field history by both innings and time of game. The sixth longest in time of game since divisional play began in 1969. For Carson Kelly, who entered the game in the 10th behind the plate, sweet relief.
When you saw you weren't in the lineup today, did you expect to catch nine innings?
Not really. You know, you don't usually expect that, but no, I'm glad I could contribute and help this team, and I'm glad we came out with a win tonight.
A day game the next day meant St. Louis rested most of their regulars, and the D-backs had just a couple of players who had been in the lineup the night before playing. But Wilmer Flores capped a huge 7-run sixth-inning rally.
And a drive to left field, hit it pretty well. Back of the warning track, out the wall, it's gone! 2-run homer off the bat of Wilmer Flores. And the Diamondbacks now lead it by a score of 9-5.
The D-backs held on for a 9-7 win, and Nick Ahmed played all 28 innings of the final two games of the series.
I know, I got very little sleep, but God refreshed me. I felt good today. You know, obviously my legs were probably a little bit more tired than normal, but I felt fine and was ready to go.
After a Thursday off day, the D-backs finish up the season with the San Diego Padres. And on Friday, former All-Star Jake Lamb delivered off the bench.
Lamb, a fly ball, deep right field. He's put the Diamondbacks on top with a long home run. Jake Lamb way over the pool, a three-run shot. And all of a sudden, the Diamondbacks have got the lead here. It's a four-run eighth inning, a pinch homer for Lamb.
You know, it's no secret to what kind of year I've had, but I'm continuing to work and work on the swing and trying to get that feel, and I'm used to doing things like that, is to be completely honest. And coming up in those situations, I love that. I love, having the pressure on me and coming through for my team.
Saturday night, the D-backs needed late heroics again. This time, it was Christian Walker.
And a high fly ball, deep left field, at the warning track, at the wall. Grand slam, Walker! Diamondbacks lead it. Listen to this crowd.
Not trying to force the hits or the hard hit balls or even the walks, anything like that, kind of letting the game come to me. Moving into the end of the year, there's still an opportunity to learn. I know we're out of it and we're out of the postseason, but getting a chance to experiment with my approach and mentality at the plate and during the game, it's a help for sure.
Walker's slam gave the D-backs a 6-5 win, their fourth consecutive victory, and 84 wins on the year heading into the final day of the season. And that's our last look back at the week that was in D-backs Week in Review. More coming up on the Diamondbacks Radio Network. Interesting note on today's game. If the D-backs win, it'll be win number 85 on the season. That would tie the 2000 D-backs for the most victories in a non-playoff season in franchise history. It's interesting that 13 times in 22 seasons, 500 or better records. I think only the Cardinals, the Dodgers, the Braves have had more break-even or better seasons since the D-backs became a franchise. So while this one didn't end with a playoff appearance, it is good to see that the team seems to be headed in the right direction. And that includes the manager, Torey Lovello. We had a chance to talk to him about his season and what he'd like to improve on going into 2020. Well, Torey, we've taken a look at the offense and the pitching staff over the last couple of days. Let's talk about you for a while. I noticed that you're laid out on the couch to discuss this, so that's appropriate. What do you think was the biggest thing you improved on as a manager in 2019?
It's hard to say. I'll probably walk through some self-evaluation and get some evaluation from people around me. But the one conscious adjustment that I made this year was not being late to the party with certain decisions. At times in the past, I'd stuck with players too long. I believe in players. I want to have their back. I want them to understand that they're important to me. But every once in a while, I probably got a little stubborn and stayed with somebody a little bit longer than I wanted to. So making those adjustments were for the better of the team, helping us push forward to win baseball games, and that's really what it's all about.
I think specifically we see that show up in the closer's role a lot, right? So last year was Boxberger, got a lot of rope. This year there's a fair amount of rope for Holland, but you pulled it. How did it feel when you made that adjustment? Was it easier or more difficult than you thought?
Well, I think I had a little bit of street cred with these guys. I had built the relationship, so they knew where I was coming from. There's always some anxiety when you're going to change roles with somebody that's been doing it a very long time. But what we've learned is these guys are accountable. We ask them to be accountable. So the conversations were tough at times, but I didn't just totally pull it out from them all in one day. They were built-in conversations that nobody really knew about that told them I was approaching a threshold that I was uncomfortable with, and if it didn't improve, I would eventually make an adjustment. So when it was made, it was kind of laid down to be made. But it felt like I was separating two things. One was the player from what was happening, and then two, I was making an adjustment for the team to keep moving forward to win a baseball game, and that to me is always the most important thing.
I think you also did it with lineups this year, and I know you like to give guys a heads up before you try and make any change. Was there less lag time in the way that you went about, hey, I'm thinking about this, before you actually implemented it?
Well, yeah, with a position player, it might be a little bit different because they can turn it around today, and they get four hits, and then next thing you know, they're rolling. So, I had some very difficult conversations with some veteran players. I readjusted Jake Lamb's schedule. I started to shift his position. I began to pinch hit for him. Those were conversations that happened internally, but I told them that it was a possibility that I was thinking about, and it did happen. You know, maybe that was something a couple of years ago that I wouldn't have done. I would have given Jake the opportunity to bang his way out of it. But I feel like, once again, I needed to make the decision to allow somebody on the bench to help us win a baseball game, and I'll never come off of that.
Everybody faces criticism in their job, and probably no more so than a manager. You face it from the public, you face it from the media, you face it from us sitting in this room, you face it from your boss. What's the most valid criticism of you as a manager?
Well, that's a tough question, but you're right. It is everywhere. Every single day, that's all I hear, and rotating around that can be tough. But really what I come down to is that I believe in myself, and I believe in the decisions I make, and they're not hasty decisions. And, there's a strategy to everything I do. So to pinpoint one thing that's helped me move on and help me grow and learn as a manager, it's hard for me to describe right now. But that's something that I'll reflect on over the course of the off season, and I'll start that process tonight. And those people around me that I trust, I'm going to get some very, very useful feedback. But it happens so often that I can't quite pinpoint one thing that stands out more than any other.
As you look at the way the game is shifted, and I know it's tough to do that when you're focusing on a nightly basis, but we're seeing teams become more bullpen reliant. We're seeing teams make some adjustments in the way that they're preparing. How much of this winter do you spend trying to focus on what other teams have done to try and gain something, or how much do you try and just focus on what it is that you guys have done as a group to try and refine that process?
Yeah, we are always on the cutting edge. So first of all, two ways that I'm going to look at it. We believe in what we do here wholeheartedly. We believe in execution. We believe in winning the inch and winning the margins. We believe in giving the information to the players and allowing them to perform. And they've built in trust in us. When we first got here 3 years ago, we started to shift, and we started to shift very heavily. And the players were biting off a little bit of it at a time and trying to figure out why and how. But now they understand that. And we do it every day, and it's really helped us. So as we continue to push through off seasons, these are conversations that we will always have. We'll always be on the cutting edge and always try to get to that point where we're going to make this a perfect organization. We've clearly raised the bar here, and it's really a bar of expectations that we're going to be great. And we don't want to settle for anything less. So we'll research. We've been talking about a lot of different things that will help make us better. And sometimes it's just some drill work, or sometimes it's just some technology. And it's not very it's not reinventing the wheel. It's going to be very specific to help us get better tomorrow.
All right, Skip. Thanks for everything this year. Go get them today.
Thank you so much.
D-back skipper Torrey Lovello joining us, and this is the final early BP of the season. It's the final game of the year. Thank you for tuning in since we started this project. We're greatly appreciative for everything that you guys have done for us this year, and keep an ear to the podcast feed over the next several months. We may have some more nuggets and good stuff for you coming up as well. All right, baseball about to start today. Taiwan Walker will make his first appearance of any kind since April 14th of 2018. Michelle Baez starts for San Diego. Greg and Tom have the call at 12:10 today. A BP show at 11:30. And thank you for joining us all season long for early BP. Take care.